Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Rad Life. And we are now the 1st of May. I would like to announce the fact that we are getting better and better at this. And we actually have, I believe, 100% booking for the month of May already. So look out for our calendar of all the guests, including these two ladies that are on right now. And we are probably about halfway through for June. So I'm putting that out there because if anybody who has received emails from me or has showed interest to be on the show and you're sitting on your backside basically not reaching out and confirming your time slot, you may be looking at July. You may be looking at August. So
you may be looking at being out.
Well, you know, what can I tell you?
I just want to say again,
it's really rough being popular.
We've gone through the election cycle recently. We're looking at the next one here. And everybody who came on the Rad Life last cycle got elected. Everybody who chose
We didn't have 100% batting average. We had 100% batting average. Some of the people that showed up didn't, but basically I would say that about 75%, you're right, Paul, about 75 to 80% of the people that basically showed up and actually were we hosted as guests, they were successful in their campaigns. And we already having some people that have been previous guests that are running four campaigns against some of the people that we've had on that have showed up too.
This is a point of influence, good, bad, or otherwise here. There aren't many discussions like this.
I don't like the otherwise. I'll take the bad and the good, but don't give me the otherwise. It's very noncommittal.
All right.
Okay, but I will say that also the other thing we pride ourselves on here is that we are a non-party affiliated, non-partisan based radio show.
You really prove that week in and week out. I think I've got you pegged, and then all of a sudden you bring in somebody else, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's from the other side.
Oh, man. That's just because I like shocking you. Okay, but it's true, and we really are very equal opportunity here. We really want to hear about what people have to offer, and I will say this to anybody and everybody who is either out there caring in the form of assisted living, senior care, nonprofit, serving on boards, or basically puts their hat in the ring to basically be of service, public service, I have nothing but the utmost respect for those people. They actually are why it makes it great to live in this country. Those are the kind of people that really matter. Those are the kind of like once-in-a-lifetime kind of people sometimes that come along and they really put themselves, their families, their resources, their time, their efforts. I may disagree with them on certain things, but that's one thing that I will never basically begrudge them. They are doing something that's amazing by stepping up. So with that being said, I've got two examples of them sitting with me.
They stepped up. They came to the show.
They stepped up and they came to the show. They stepped up and had lunch with me before the show.
Wow. Right? Oh, boy.
They really were taking their life in their own hands at that point. Right? But I would like to introduce, I'm going to introduce the organization. I'm going to have the ladies introduce themselves, and then we're going to get into the background story on how they got involved. But I want to give a shout out first and foremost to my friend, and she's been on the show before, Rima Neshashibi, that basically introduced me to Marguerite and brought to my attention an organization by the name of Hope Center for the Arts. And they are in Anaheim. It's an organization that's been around for 40 years and has actually an amazing mission in my book. And they are, like any organization, dealing with certain things right now that we wanted to highlight, but I also wanted mostly to highlight their story and these two ladies' involvement in the organization. So thanks for being on the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll start with you, Marguerite. Why don't you introduce yourself? Give a little. It was really funny. We had a conversation during lunch, and they were like, well, listen, we want to really make sure we tell people about the background of why we got involved in this, right? Because, you know, I don't know what the format of your show is. Yeah, we keep it a surprise for people. But, you know, what the format of the show is, but, you know, we really want to tell our story. And I'm like, you obviously haven't listened to the show. So, but I won't take that personally, right? But Yes, absolutely. This is where you come to tell your story, right? So, and Joanne's laughing because she was the one who's like, and she's like about taking notes. I'm like, okay, we'll get there.
Notes, look at this.
Oh, you brought notes too? Wow. I'm like the only unprepared person on this show. So go ahead, Marguerite. Welcome.
Thank you.
And please tell people who you are, what your role is at HOPE, and how you got involved.
Okay, well, I'm Marguerite Adams. I'm a former human resources manager with the County of Orange. I retired, and I wanted to give back, as many other people do once I retired. And so I thought, well, the nonprofit sector is probably a good next step. And with that, my sister has gone to Hope Center for the Arts, is formerly called Hope University.
And let's give people, if you wouldn't mind, just give the mission. Like, what is the Hope Center for the Arts?
Yeah, what we do is we serve intellectually disabled adults through the arts. And it really, I think, once we're done with today's program, we'll be able to help provide examples of how we truly transform their lives through the arts.
And I want to just thank you, because following up on this show, I will also be at Hope Center on Friday to basically do a site visit, and I think we might bring it live for people on Facebook. But I just want to say that I had a chance to visit, and you're like, you got to come back. We got more for you to see. So
somebody tweeted, wants to know, where is it?
Anaheim.
I mean, address, sir.
121 South Citron in Anaheim. It's right off of Lincoln, and it's very, like, two doors down across the street from Anaheim High School.
And what makes because it's been around for a while, right?
40 years.
We're celebrating
our 40th anniversary.
And so what kind of
almost as long as this show. Almost as long as the show's been on.
Your show's been on for 40 years?
Or no,
my
your show?
My show?
It just feels like
it's only been on for 4 years. Are you telling me something? Do we need some counseling, Paul?
Felt like 40.
Why don't you tell me how you really feel? Okay, so go ahead, Marguerite. Sorry. Ignore him.
So I guess the way that Hope was founded 40 years ago was by a woman whose name was Doris Walker. Mm-hmm. And what I've been told is that she would have been like a music therapist today. And she was a teacher in a school. I believe it's still around. And I think today might be their anniversary as well. Hope School in Anaheim or Garden Grove. And basically she heard a student in the classroom who is blind and autistic, Paul Keene. And where she was talking to herself, saying, scratching her head and going, well, what key is that in? It's in so-and-so key, Mrs. Walker. She realized at that point that she needed to do something more for this population. Because let's remember, 40 years ago, there's been some great significant changes in this sector.
Right.
But Doris didn't create Hope alone. She had a small group of parents along with the leadership of the Kiwanis. It ends up being that Paul Keene is still with Hope, and he's brought beautiful music to the world through being part of the High Hopes band. As I said, he's blind and autistic, but he is a musical savant.
Mm-hmm.
Plays many, many instruments, is on key, and many times you can ask him what, during a certain genre, what kind of music, what key is this music in, and he'll be able to tell you. It's amazing.
And talk about the band, because I think you guys have a little bit of recognition with that band, right?
Well, the High Hopes band, yeah. Yes. And actually, I hope that we will have even more bands as time goes on. But the High Hopes band has been in Washington, D.C. They've been on the television. There's just been so many things. But part of that became somewhat complacent in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And now what we're seeing now is just great new opportunities out there, and partnerships and collaborations with other organizations.
Well, I think that's sort of a common danger sometimes, when you're almost a victim of your own success in certain ways, but you've been around a long time, and I find that it maybe it's more so maybe in nonprofits, is you're so busy in the doing of the mission that sometimes you don't step back and figure out, well, how can we retool? How can we maybe refocus? Times around us have changed. Environment around us has changed, but we're still kind of doing what we know because we're just so focused passionately on delivering, but we haven't reinvented ourselves. So that is, yeah, I hear you totally when you say that.
Yeah, and when you say the High Hopes Band, hopefully they will be ready because you didn't last
visit. I did not get it.
You didn't get to hear them. So if you have any favorite songs, let me know after, and we'll see what we can do.
Oh, this gets even better. I'm bringing live music to you listeners on Friday.
Does that mean our request line is open now here?
Yes, your request line is open. If you would like to place, by the way, Paul, can you give people the phone number or how to get
hold of us? If they want to call in and find out, or people keep tweeting, you can call us and participate today too. 949-330-7761. 949-330-7761. That's our direct studio line operators standing by.
That's Paul, by the way, with his sexy voice. I can't even do Paul's sexy voice. Right? It's like Wolfman over there. Okay, that's it. Did I just date myself on that one?
Oh my God, the Wolfman. I love the Wolfman.
Okay. So, yeah, you emulate the Wolfman. That's right. All right. But
is anybody listening, baby?
There you go. That was more Dr. Johnny Fever, actually, from WKRP. But I will tell you also, if you'd like to get a hold of me with your requests or more information on any of the shows or about Hope, reach out to me by email, Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, @gmail.com. And, I am looking forward to that very much on Friday. So, you know, whenever time they are playing, I will be there.
Yeah. We'd like you to come at 10, and that will really, I know that I said before I wanted you to come so you could feel Hope.
Yeah.
You really will this time.
Okay.
You really will.
And so how long have you guys been at the location in Anaheim?
Through a big leap of faith, we moved there in 2015.
Where were you before?
We were in a small church on Lemon in Anaheim.
In Anaheim, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And just so we can get it out of the way, you actually currently are challenged with, as far as location and facility, right?
You're exactly right. We found out about a year ago that our building was being sold, even though we have a 2022 lease. And so we started looking for a new location then. But in March, we found that we need to vacate by June 30th. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not like a negative on who we have the lease with. They've been very understanding of Hope struggles because basically that leap of faith included things like, at the same time, not only did we go into a business model that didn't work for this population, the ED that we had, executive director at that time, after 20 years, and she was a family member, she retired. We moved to the new location. We had a new name, even. So there was a lot of challenges.
You had a lot of challenges ahead of you. Yeah, new location, new infrastructure, new branding. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but really the challenge now is in relation, as you were saying, to find a new location by June 30th. But I also want to say that even though that's a challenge, with what June and I have been feeling by meeting people like you and this opportunity, and the community just feels like it's embracing us.
Well, look, here's the thing, honestly, and I've been saying it for probably more so than usual the last couple of weeks. As people start being concerned about the shift in the economy, changing, you know, we're coming on an election year, there's a lot of sort of stress and insecurity senses going on out there. Life is always about whether you look at it something as being a challenge or an opportunity. So sometimes it takes a challenge to make you realize that you may be looking at an opportunity, but it requires a change of perspective. You got to look at the coin from the other side sometimes. And in this case, it's been very interesting because what I'm hearing from you is, yes, this is, we are challenged in having to find a new location. However, maybe how we go about it is an opportunity to expand our reach and services in a way of collaborating with everything from other entities that may be servicing the same population to how you basically structure your facilities, where they are. You know, when I came in, we talked about it, and we talked about everything. We talked about, you know, possible taking your approach of programs and putting it through different entities, physical locations that would then basically bore maybe more fitting for the theater component, the you know, sort of in front of camera TV station kind of component, the actual musical component, you know, band component, that it doesn't necessarily have to be under one roof. And in fact, by putting it, considering a model potentially, for example, of being distributed, makes it more communal, makes the reach wider. At the same time, there's other organizations that I know, and we can't mention who it is because you're in conversation with them, but other organizations that also are looking at how they can expand their offering by bringing you guys in, because it's a very necessary service to that community.
Yeah, and I think June and I would probably like to share with you why we connected.
Well, why don't we start with you, because we're getting close to the break. We'll take the break and we'll come back and do that. But please introduce.
Okay. So... the reason...
Personal story? You're not telling me there's a personal story.
Oh, there. No. Here we go. There's always a personal story,
I love
story,
personal
right?
stories on this show.
And hopefully I can tell it well.
Okay.
My first involvement with Hope was as a family member. My sister, Patty, was born in a prisoner of war camp in World War II. So keep in mind, Hope serves folks with many different types of developmental and intellectual disabilities, which is more reflective of the world. Well, my first thing was I went to an event where they were selling pictures and paintings. My sister had done one with pencil. And she always draws these little characters. I found my sister, because of how she was born in the prisoner of war camp, she was oxygen deprived. She would have been normal here today because she was breech. There was no doctor in the camp. This was in the Philippines in 1942. She had no access to, my mother had no access to a doctor. She was in labor for like 3 days. By the time my sister came out, my father said she was almost dead. She was purple, blue, and her vocal cords had been damaged. So going back to when she started at Hope about, it's just about 25 years ago, she drew this picture, and, you know, I found out through that picture, because it was a circus, that my sister had never gone to a circus in her life.
Wow.
And because of that, I took her to the circus for her birthday. So I think it just demonstrates the ability to help others through the arts be able to express themselves and for us to value them as equals.
Well, I'm really kind of like taken aback in a way that this is a person that you know. And yet, because of Hope, because of how she expressed herself, she communicated information to you that you didn't even know.
Correct. Yeah.
That then basically built that relationship. There was a building block in terms of information, you know, share, and then you basically then took her to circus. I mean, it sounds like a very simple thing, but I mean, wow.
It was.
Communicated through a format of an art format, basically, through her pencil drawing.
And that's just one small example. And that's why I got involved in Hope, thinking I wanted to serve and learn about the nonprofit center, join the board. I realistically didn't know what I was getting into.
Most people who get into nonprofits don't.
I've learned that there's a lot of Hope champions out there. We just need to help share the story.
Yeah, it's amazing, and thank you for sharing that. That's a pretty very personal. I mean, we joke about everybody's got a personal reason why they're involved, but I have found whether it's seniors, whether it's veterans, whether it's public service, whether it's, you know, just simply basically having a passion to develop something new or make something better, there's always somewhere some sort of a personal reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There has to be some passion of some sort. We saw that as the organization went through the challenges since 2015. Today, June and I are the board.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost say
that because of the passionate aspect of it, it's probably why you have been able to sustain since 2015.
And we're small but mighty.
Small and mighty.
Yeah, yeah.
She's just dropping all the little sound bites here. Okay. So that's amazing. I have to ask this question. Do you still have that art?
You know, I've been trying to find it because, to be honest, my mother laughed. Okay, my mother was not supporting my sister's art. And so at that point, I was a little bit younger, had a small family, didn't really have the money to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know a former teacher that I believe has it.
Oh, so we are on a quest now. Oh, this just gets better. So what current role do you play in Hope?
I'm technically the chair of the board. And what role I play is what role needs
whatever to, needs to
needs
be done.
To done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nonprofit world.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, your facility is not small either. I mean, how big is your facility? About 5,000 square feet?
The current one we're in is about 9,000. What we're looking for, because we know we don't need to spread out so much, and that's where that wrong business model came into play.
Yeah.
But we're looking for about 5,000 square feet.
So for those who are listening, before we go to our break, for those who are listening, how can they get involved with Hope? What is some of the stuff? I mean, if you don't ask, you don't get, right? So what is it that we're looking for people to maybe be, other than be informed about Hope? What's the website? Let's give them the website.
The website is hope4, arts.org. There's a lot of information on there about our programs and also where our needs are. Especially what's impacting a move is to be able realistically to have the funding for all the ADA compliance type things like transportation. We found, you know, building bathrooms, it's craziness. You know, we don't have the bandwidth to build bathrooms to make sure. Those and the transportation, because you've got to make sure all the buses, access buses are coming in. You need ramps, things of that nature. But we're also open to co-locating and collaborating and partnering with other organizations, be wherever they are in Orange County, if we have complementary missions and can help each other.
Okay, so Marguerite's too nice. I'm going to ask it more bluntly. Okay. If you've got 5,000 square feet that you can basically see yourself housing a very valuable nonprofit in that basically has a lot to offer the community, has a track record of doing it over 40 years, and basically the space maybe needs a little renovation of some sorts, I can't pay for the renovation, but I will help with the design services.
Woo-hoo.
Into that.
Thank
okay?
you.
You're welcome. And I know some people out there are listening. I've reached out to some people already. There's a whole bunch of people I know that are vendors. I have a whole bunch of people that I know that are basically property owners, brokers, commercial brokers. I'm putting the word out, people. Okay? This is an organization that basically does a lot of good for people that are special needs, that have a lot of value. They're treasures in our community, and sometimes they don't get highlighted. So if you are so inclined, find out more. Go to that website, find out more, and then communicate with these ladies, or you can reach me. With that being said, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Joan.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material Waste Management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, Waste Management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the six. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
Okay, people, we are back, and we were just talking to Marguerite Adams from Hope Center for the Arts. Marguerite, give the website again.
It's hope4arts.org.
Okay, and we were talking about that this organization has been around for 40 years. They, their population they serve is intellectually...
Disabled adults.
They have some amazing talent there. If you didn't catch the first part of the show, I will be physically on location on Friday with the hope to see some of those very talented people creatively expressing themselves, and I'll probably try to bring it to you guys live on Facebook. So make sure to follow me. Probably be early in the morning. So I will put out a little bit about some of that later. But you didn't come alone today. So
no.
Who'd you bring with you?
I brought, we're kind of the yin and yang. This is June McLaughlin. She
kind of stole your line, June, right?
Because people have complimented us on
it's
that.
The yin and yang will do that.
Yeah. So she's our CFO.
June,
I am.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
No, my pleasure. Yeah. Really, really. So like we did with Marguerite, tell people who you are. Obviously, you guys don't, you know, you're retired, so you have maybe more full-time involvement here. Joan, are you retired?
Not yet.
You're not retired yet?
She's
not
too
yet
young.
Retired.
No, so she's the retirement side of the yin and yang. And you're the actual, well, you know, that's how it works. Somebody's got to basically be there. So tell people who you are. And then also tell people how you got involved with Hope, please.
Okay. I'm June McLaughlin, and I am a full-time faculty at Irvine Valley College. I'm the program director for the paralegal program there. Go Lasers. And
I learn something new every day.
My son has an intellectual disability, mm-hmm. and he has always been in special ed, but has always, kind of like Marguerite's beautiful story about Patty, has always communicated through drawing, art, singing. He has his own YouTube channel, and he really...
you can't tell me he has his own YouTube channel and not plug it, okay?
So my son has a YouTube channel, and I want you all to subscribe. He's got 19 subscribers right now.
Just stick to that like a... Like,
and I do not know the link,
well,
but
give
I can give
your son's name.
Kale Cheng, Cheng. And I think it's something like Super Montanker, but I'll give you the link. So
and then Kale is spelled?
C-A-I-L.
Okay. So Kale Cheng and YouTube. Look it up.
Thank
There's
you
such
so
a
much.
Thing called Google. You could basically research it. So, and how old is your son?
He's 25.
Okay.
And I joined, I had because he's communicating with the universe through art and music and movement, I was always looking for opportunities to get instruction, art instruction. But that kind of diminishes after the child is over 20, 21, even in a amazingly supportive community like Irvine Irvine Unified.
How so when you say it diminishes?
I have found, and I think most parents of disabled children will agree, that a lot of the programming is for 18 and under.
Ah.
And you look at even the city or even private organizations. Hope, I'd been Googling all over the place trying to find an arts organization that took adults and couldn't even find Hope. And
I mean, kind of fascinating if you really think about it. Like, we have an acute awareness that children with special needs that are intellectually challenged, basically, or disabled, are basically going to get our attention until they're 18. And then, like, miraculously, that need just goes away. I mean, it's kind of, I'm not knocking it, but I'm just kind of interesting how sometimes we don't, our thinking doesn't expand. Like, I'm going to be focused on this until they become an adult. Now they're basically just got to take care of it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's and
it's scary.
The reality doesn't change between the day that you turn 18 for your birthday and the day before that. So it's interesting.
It's okay. Very interesting.
Yeah, and we are not. It's not that we're in an affluent neighborhood. We're an affluent part of the country. So you would think that there would be an acute awareness to support community as it ages.
Yeah,
that's why when you're out in, the, you know, I'm a retiree, so I'm out there, you know, going to the, getting my nails.
You just want to get in on this aging thing.
Getting nails done or whatever.
Yeah.
How many folks do you see out there with their parent walking that you think they could explore and grow with a program like Hope
else? Your timing is amazing. I literally had a conversation this morning. My father is 84. He is frail. We are worried that he basically is going to fall. My mother is not in the best of, I mean, she's in good health, but she has a medical issue that will be with her probably for the rest of her life. And so we have been trying to get my father to be a little bit more physically fit in case he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dealing with dementia. And literally had a conversation with my sister today and my mother via text as I was leaving the house, trying to coordinate who's going to go with Dad, because we finally got him to basically join a gym to actually go work out with Dad on certain days. So we're scheduling workouts with my dad in terms of, like, I'll take him on Friday and then you'll take him, like, and it's like, and so again, you know, I said something earlier today about the benefits of working for yourself is that I could basically at 8 o'clock in the morning be on a kayak in the back bay of Newport Beach at, you know, in the middle of the week, and not have to basically, you know, ask for permission to go do that. Another one is basically being able to go with my father maybe on a Tuesday or something at like 10:30 and basically make sure that he gets his physical, you know, exercise in. Yeah, you know, we have to support people in our immediate families, but then we also have to be aware that there are other people out there that don't have the benefit or the luxury or the good fortune to maybe have a built-in support system.
Mm-hmm.
And be there for them.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. And what we've seen at Hope, as I mentioned kind of earlier over lunch, Marguerite's sister is 77. She's an aging Hope artist.
Mm-hmm.
And my son's 25. I don't think any longer he's the youngest, but when he's been there for 3 years.
But the bookends that you guys are talking about, you have a representation, personal family representation, 1 degree of separation in both camps that this organization services.
Yes, and it's just fascinating to look at the aged disabled and to know how far we've come understanding marginalized mm-hmm. populations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Hope really works to do is create, and I'll give credit to our amazing executive director, Michelle Vavanis, they have their own culture
mm-hmm.
and Hope they can be themselves. My son is completely himself. When I first saw it, I was like, that's how he acts at home. And I had never seen him act that way out, you know, out of the house. But he's so comfortable there and able to express himself.
The importance mm-hmm. of having a place that they can call their own.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and to learn and express themselves. This mm-hmm. is not just therapeutic art. All of our staff are working artists.
Yes.
We sell our student artists' work. Mm-hmm. They get paid. The High Hopes are paid for gigs for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But also just understanding that art is valuable, and mm-hmm. we don't do that even for typically developing mm-hmm. people. At a certain age, you stop drawing. Don't be silly. That's not what you're going to do with your life. And I feel, and my family's been very supportive, I felt very strongly that my son will have the rest of his life to bag at Ralph's, and that what I really wanted to do is make sure he had, and there's nothing wrong with bagging at Ralph's, mm. but and he works at a golf club in the kitchen, so he has a job, but I wanted him to have this time to be able to create art, to sell it. We have a picture of the first, I think he got cash actually from a art sale. We celebrated and took a picture, but that valuing that it's really hard.
Okay. So I'm gonna because I can't, my brain doesn't stop. Okay. So sorry. I apologize, but I don't
it's
really.
It's awesome.
I really don't. Thank you. That's very sweet. You just made my day. See, Mom, I told you. Okay. But here's the thing. Okay. I'm thinking two things. I've shared one of this with Marguerite when I first talked to them. I suggested that you may want to reach out to the lab in the camp, Little American Business, because they have a store called Seed at the camp. And Seed is basically really artisan crafts. And I'll ask my good friend Chris Bennett when I talk to him. I'm supposed to talk to him this week. And then Shaheen Siddiqui, when he comes into town, I'll touch base with him. But basically, they have a nonprofit component, I think, in terms of the products that are sold in there. So there may be, and I've seen some of your stuff. And yeah. I'll post some pictures of it when I get there on Friday. Some of this stuff, I think, is like 2 degrees away from Patagonia. You know, it's sort of like this, almost hippie-ish a little bit, mm-hmm, craftsman,
yeah. A little boho.
You know, boho. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Not my word. Marguerite's. Okay. But fine. Yes. If you guys understand, it's all about communication. So if you get it, you get it. All right. I have to look it up, actually, to be honest. Right. But that's one. The other thing is, anybody who knows anybody at Ralph's, at Stater's, at Vaughn's, here's an idea. In the state of California, we don't do plastic bags anymore. But they sell us at $1 a piece bags that have beautiful art on them.
Yeah.
Why not team up with Hope Center of the Arts if you're a local company that's producing, and if there's printers out there that work with these chains that are local, this is a great opportunity to differentiate your products, to highlight these talents, and to basically have a win-win for everybody. You're still charging me $1 for that recyclable bag. Mm-hmm. Put something on it that I want to look at.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a great idea. And we
so have... you just never know what's going to happen when you show up on this show.
It's super exciting. I just also want to say, when you do take a look, for anybody who's listening, at the website,
which is
hope4arts.org.
Okay.
We actually have a gallery at our current location, and when we do move, our hope is to continue to have a gallery. But our artists have received NEA grants, have exhibited at local restaurants. Some is abstract art, mm-hmm, fiber arts, a lot of visual arts. It's very moving. It speaks to you, and it's beautiful too.
I've seen it, and like I said, we'll post pictures of it. If nobody told you, which I don't know why it would make any difference, to be honest, right? I mean, I think society is just kind of messed up wiring wise that way. But if nobody told you that the person who actually painted that, or the person who made that piece of music, was intellectually disabled or challenged, you would never know. You just appreciate the art for the art's sake,
yeah, mm-hmm,
as a creative form of expression from another human being.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And, you know, piggybacking on some of the things June highlighted, you know, our students over the last year, it's tremendous how the quality of services continues to progress while we're reducing expenses by approximately 30% at the same time. Our students were on the Ajiro stage, two different, you know, one singing, one dancing. Last October, our executive director, Michelle Vavanese, mm-hmm, was recognized by as an emerging arts leader in Orange County. Just this last March, we've had an exhibit at Space 252 with the Anaheim Performing Arts Center Foundation. And like she said, we opened our first gallery ever. That there was never one in 40 years, where our plan is to bring in external artists, mm-hmm, just as we've done with our students, have already worked, like she was saying, the NEA grant, worked with external artists. So then the art is that much more, and the inclusiveness and the ability to have everyone together in one room is just realized.
Well, and name drop a little bit more. I know there's other organizations or other performing arts centers or museums and stuff like that that you guys have been engaged with in terms of whether it's a roaming exhibit or a performance or something. So go ahead and drop that.
Museo. We exhibited at
Anaheim.
And then in Santa Ana, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the gallery, but part of the arts district in Santa Ana.
An up-and-coming area of Santa Ana is being sort of gentrified. I hate that word, but yeah.
And then, of course, Space 252, which is in Anaheim.
But didn't you guys just do something? Didn't you do something down the street here?
Down the street. What did we do
here?
Ajiro's. Gyros. Yeah, what? We did singing and also dancing, two different things that, with Segerstrom.
With Segerstrom, we're literally down the street from Segerstrom.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. So, Joan, going back to you, so you got involved.
I got on the board. My son finished some post-secondary coursework that he was doing, and we did our assessment. And he, I, not to get too personal, but
please do.
I had gone through a divorce, and he and I were. I have a supportive family, but we are a team. We are our own team, mm-hmm. and after we. Kind of kicked around looking for things for him to do, trying to find a location, something that would engage him. I tried other organizations in Orange County, but I did the assessment, and I'll never forget. We're standing in the at the current location on 121 South Citron. We're standing in the foyer and just looked at each other and didn't say anything. And the energetically what I read was,
yes,
we're home.
Yeah,
this is it. And it, just the relaxed look on his face. Mm-hmm. And they have taken pictures of him while at Hope, and I rarely see him that relaxed, and it's just a joy. Mm-hmm. And so when I joined the board, it has been challenging. It's been amazing to see people like yourself opening your arms and creating opportunities for us, because it is a beautiful thing to be a part of. And it's just amazing to watch him enjoy mm-hmm. it and all the artists there. And we can't forget to mention, we have a great music therapy program.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about the programs and whoever wants to take this, but let's share a little bit more about the programs that you have. We've touched a little bit on the music and the band and obviously paint or sketching, but take a minute.
Visual arts, fiber arts. I can't remember the date, but we've had a yarn bomb. We off and on have had an Etsy account, but the fiber arts is a group effort. You're doing the tour? You've been there though.
I've been there before.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah, and I think that's the kind of the maybe the hippie items you saw in the front.
No, I got a genuine baby boomer over there sitting behind the board. So hippie is not a bad word over there. Also, he's giving me the peace sign over there.
Peace, love.
Have you looked at June's hair?
Oh, I'm not a hippie.
Okay. The two of you need to just stay in your corners.
We're going to take you out and whoop you and show you what a hippie can do.
No. We do not do that on this show. Okay?
Show you peace and love, baby. I'll give you a piece of this love right here.
You know, if you are about to call and you're part of the Me Too movement, don't. Okay? Just call Paul directly. I'm not responsible for his behavior. Okay? But what
visual
else?
Visual arts.
Life skills.
Life skills, in music therapy, we have a bell choir. My son has done that off and on, but a bell choir that, is beautiful. And we have a annual, holiday show where all the students perform. We do video production,
acting. Yeah, I think I just heard somebody doing Shakespeare yesterday.
Yeah, and
seriously.
Just listen to how she presented that. I think I heard somebody doing Shakespeare yesterday. Like, you know, you walk in and, you know, somebody is in the middle of the soliloquy, or, you know, he's doing Shylock from The Merchant of Venice. And you're, where's that coming from? Well, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah, my son has written his own song. They have sat the students down and taught them how to compose and think about it. What would your music look like? But we do life skills, so they are learning to be independent.
And I'll tell you, my sister is not a savant. We have what we call, I don't know if this is appropriate, but a freaking high number of savants.
A freaking high number of savants.
That's a hippie number.
I think that's actually like a quantifiable benchmark measuring tool.
And I will tell you, though, that it's a great environment that those who just are interested in the arts can stretch themselves and learn from each other, and having all different ages is also a wonderful thing.
Very diverse.
Okay, I'm going to take a moment because we touched on this a little bit before we went on the air, okay? And this is something that's very meaningful to me. I'm very protective about it when I find it. In our society, we do not encourage, as a matter of fact, on a daily basis, people daring. We actually tell them why they shouldn't. And we were talking about, and I'm going to give a shout out to Seth Tosca and his father, who basically, from the Tosca Foundation. And I remember working with Seth, and one of the work pieces that just resonated with me that his father has done was called Icarus Flight. The story of Icarus, for those who don't know it, is Icarus and his father basically dared to build wings and with wax, and they fly in ancient Greece. And Icarus, being the, you know, young buck that could not be restrained, because, you know, what parent will tell you that, you know, my children are such a challenge, right? But Icarus dared to fly close to the sun. He dared. My God, how dare he basically get so, like, lofty an ideal as to fly close to the sun? And the sun melted the wax, and they fell. And we tell the story as Icarus's fall, because we want to have it be a cautionary tale of not going too far. Mm-hmm. Instead, if you actually term that story as Icarus's flight, celebrating the fact that he dared, like the Wright brothers dared how many times and failed, okay, we would have a completely different take on things.
So resonates with me. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I heard you say it, and I'm like, that's interesting. But after speaking here right now, and then you're saying it again, I'm like, that's exactly, hope is creating a space where people can dare. You're absolutely right.
Dare to be who they.
Do I dare tell you that you're down to the last couple of minutes here?
No, you do not. You need to just stop. No, of course you can. But no, I mean, the show from day one has dared. And, here's an organization that really, in just a very humble way, is basically instilling this characteristic in everybody that walks through your doors, encouraging and celebrating them daring.
Yeah.
I wish we did that more.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for listening, and thank you ladies for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure, really. And I will beat you if you don't basically tune in on Friday and watch me basically visit Hope. No, I won't. I really won't. But I really encourage everybody who's listening to join me on Friday as I go and do a physical site visit and enjoy some of the creative outlets that the students there are and creative artists there are doing. And basically do that on Facebook. You can watch it. I'll try to feed it onto the Rad Life Facebook page. If not, then just look for it on my own personal profile. Before we go, again, these ladies, their organization is looking for a new home, 5,000 square feet. They do have some money to put against it. So we're not looking for a complete handout here, but they are a nonprofit. And also interested in people being involved and, you know, collaborative. They're very out of the box thinking in terms of what they're open to. Not out of necessity, but I think because it's creative and they're a creative center. And so let's give people the website, and then we are just going to say goodbye. What's the website?
Hopeforarts.org.
Wow. Synchronized exit. There you go. A little fist bump too. So I appreciate everybody for being there. Thank you, ladies. And I will see you Friday.
Thank you.
All right.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.